Yes, greetings to you in Jesus' name. This is Daniel King again with the Daily Inspiration. Wish you God's blessings as you seek Him. I just want to thank you for serving and seeking Jesus Christ. Of course, I don't know who all is in the range or is listening to this message, but I do know that whoever is seeking a God and seeking to become closer to Him and seeking to hold his life as a mirror, beholding himself in the light of the life of Jesus Christ, I believe is a wise man. And I do want to thank you for that. I believe that in heaven there is rejoicing for every person who is seeking Him. And I believe that heaven is also filled with a lot of anticipation, perhaps. I think there has been a lot of disappointments in heaven already as Jesus Christ and His, and all the host of heaven as they're looking on. I think there has been a lot of disappointments as they look down on the earth and realize that so many will not choose to follow Christ. But even in that, there are so many who will only follow Christ in the things that are convenient. Jesus Christ commanded us to take up our cross and follow Him. I had a person ask me yesterday, "What is your cross?" He's asking me this question. I had to think a little bit. What really is my cross? Jesus Christ commanded us to take up His cross and follow Him. And I had to, it took me a little bit by surprise. I don't know if I ever really reflected on that question lately. I know I reflected a lot on it in the past, and I realized that our cross changes some as we go on with Christ. You know, first when we become a Christian, we usually face a lot, our cross is usually a lot on our friends not understanding us, and us receiving opposition with the new lifestyle that we're embracing and teaching and encouraging others. And oftentimes we lose our friends. And that might be the cross in the beginning, but as we continue on this journey in life, I believe that the cross changes some. And I had to answer him, I thought a little bit, and my answer to him was that right now my biggest cross of Jesus Christ is the fact of relationships and feeding people. I have been realizing here lately that God wants us as His children to feed other people. And it talks about in Lamentations, I think I maybe have brought this up this week, I'm not sure, but it talks about in Lamentations 4, it says how that the 4:3, how that even the sea monsters draw out the breast and give suck to their young ones. The daughter of my people has become cruel, like the ostriches in the wilderness. It says, the tongue of the sucking child cleaveth to the roof of his mouth for thirst. The young children are asking bread, and no man giveth it to them. So, it's talking about, and then it says, they that did feed delicately are desolate in the streets. They that are brought up in scarlet embrace dunghills. For the punishment of the people, of the iniquity of the people, daughter of my people, is greater than the punishment of the sin of Sodom, which was overthrown as in a moment, and no hand stayed her. It's basically saying that that you have children here that are not being fed. You have babies that have no one to feed them. They're helpless. And then you have the commandment that, I mean, you have the illustration that even the sea monsters, meaning the monsters in the sea, know how to feed their little ones and to draw out the breast for them. But the daughter of my people has become cruel because they're not feeding. Because they're not feeding the sheep. And that was very sobering to me, because I realized that there's no one else that, I mean, yes, there's other people feeding, but what I'm trying to say is I realized that God is in, that Jesus Christ is in heaven. He's not, you know, coming down like he was, or he's not here like he was back. When he was here himself, he could feed himself. In other words, if you wanted to be fed or know something about God, you just went to him yourself, right, straight to him. But after he ascended, people could no longer do that. I mean, they could seek him in prayer, but God was depending then on Peter and Thomas and Philip and Luke and Matthew and Paul and all those to feed the people. They are, in a sense, the ones that took their place. But now Paul and Matthew and Peter and John and James and all those are dead. And so then it took another group of people to feed, to be the mouthpiece for God. And then, you know, you go all the way down through the ages and you see faithful men who have fed people, who have been preachers, who have been teachers, who have been evangelists, who have been faithful in this work of the ministry. And I realized, as I went down through with that thought, I realized that who are the ones who are feeding today, and I realized that it's actually my responsibility. And it was an overwhelming thought. I mean, I knew long that, you know, a person has to be faithful in sharing the gospel, but I see it in a whole different light. I see it as sheep without a shepherd. You know, I see it as a harvest field with no reapers. And I just all of a sudden realized that it's not going to work for me to start pointing fingers, start looking at the preachers, start looking at those that are ordained. It's not going to work anymore. The blood will be on my own hand. And so with that came a cry to the Lord to cleanse me, like Isaiah. And then God does that. And that's what I'd like to continue with the theme from yesterday about cleansing and about being pure and about the frustration of trying to feed sheep when there is a fountain of bitterness coming from our lives. I had to think of this little illustration that we used to do when we were children. We'd get this bowl of water and we put a whole bunch of pepper in it, and salt and pepper. We put it in a bowl of water and they'd look like little specks floating on top of the water. And then if you take your finger and put dishwashing soap on it, and you dip your finger in the one side of the bowl, you can watch all the specks move away from you in like a rainbow shape. They all move away from you. Just slowly, but they slowly move away from you until they're all pushed to the other side of the bowl. And I had to think of that. Sometimes we are trying to feed people. We step up to a group of people and we find as we're feeding, they all move away to the far side of the place. They just, somehow they just kind of move away. And then, you know, and I must say that much of that is the cross of Christ. You will find as you feed people that, you know, people will move away. But at the same time, for me, it was something deeper. I had not realized that there was a fountain of bitterness that was coming from my own heart. And I'm noticing a big difference after, you know, as was spoken yesterday about following that route. After you deal with that root, and, you know, in many ways God is still dealing with me, but I must say that I can clearly see how that root was driving people away. And in a sense, it's not really something that you can describe always, but there's just this sense of teaching and ministering to others while the message that you're preaching is going over their heads. It's like sheds like water off of a duck's back. And there's just something about a person who has unresolved bitterness in his heart. There's just something about that drives people away and just pushes people away, and people are not drawn, as in a sense, drawn to God's love if it's shared from someone that's harboring bitterness. And, you know, for me, it started with the root. As I dug down and pursued this, I discovered that there was a long history of it, and it even went back to long before I was a Christian. And, you know, I think that we do well if we do not rely on the fact that we had an experience, or our new birth experience, so to speak, has necessarily taken care of everything in our heart. I do believe that it's wise for us to walk with an open heart and to continue to be sanctified. You know, I do believe that a lot of sins and things are taken care of originally when we're born again, but then there's also things that remain that need to be taken care of. And for me, it was something that there was a bitterness in my life that I noticed that I was holding towards people. But when I really got down deep, I noticed that when I uncovered or repented of holding bitterness against someone that had done something recently, I noticed that there was others beneath the same pile, so to speak. So if I repented of, you know, maybe holding bitterness towards a certain individual that hurt me in church life, or it was actually a brother that hurt me, I realized I was bitter towards him. And then when I repented of that and released that brother and forgave him in my heart, I noticed that there was another scene or person that was underneath that, and I repented of that. There was another person, and soon I realized that there was a long string of people that I had not forgiven in my heart, and it just went down and down and down, and soon I was, you know, back to when I was growing up, you know, things that were no longer recent, but things that were not dealt with, and they were still laying there, festering, with others laying on top of them. And I was just amazed at the freedom when I came to the bottom of that pile. I was just amazed at the freedom and the difference that it makes. The release of the spirits that were bound because of that long row of bitterness. And I did find, though, at the bottom, underneath each bitterness, there was a hurt that had been committed. And so what is really freeing, the bitterness is sort of like a band-aid or a cover-up. It makes us feel better, but when we repent from that bitterness, then we're still left with the hurt of what happened, of actually what happened. Well, then what do you do with that? I mean, this person still did this wrong to me, and it's clearly wrong. And so at that point, if you take those hurts and bring them to Jesus and ask him, and just to talk to him about it, just talk to him, or maybe even another brother, trusted brother or sister, and just talk to him about that hurt and walk through it with Christ and have it prayed over in a physical way. Pray over it and ask God to heal it. Ask that Jesus Christ would pour his oil of healing in upon it. And it works. It's amazing. The power of Jesus Christ is alive and available for us, and thus enabling us to be faithful witnesses, soldiers for him. Not only has he provided us with the weapons, but he has also provided us with a way to be restored, to be full of spiritual health, healed from all past issues, whether they're our fault or other people's fault. Both ways, we can be healed from them and forgiven. And he can make us fit for the battle, fit for the master's use. Just like to conclude here with a verse in Timothy, 2 Timothy. It says that, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared for every good work. God bless you.